You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, aka iTunes' longest running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, and I'm joined as always by my partner in crime, Marcus. The only reason I attended Hofstra was because Hillman did not accept me, Vandenberg. How you doing, brother?
How you doing, man?
I am doing good, my friend. And for those that do not get the reference, check out what Michael Smith and Jemele Hill did on SportsCenter the other night. It was pretty great.
It was amazing. Shout out to them. Shout out to Jemele and Mike.
And shout out to Sinbad.
Was that current Sinbad, or was that just Sinbad from the show?
All of them were current. It was the current, the ones that showed up. It was the current Sinbad. It was the current Don Lewis, a.k.a. Jaleesa.
Wow.
It was the current Major. Damn, what was his name?
I need to watch it again.
Glenn Turman's his real name, but it was whatever the Major's name was. And it was the real, maybe my favorite person on the entire show, in the entire history of A Different World. It was the real Cree Summer.
Damn, that makes it even better.
Yeah,
I was looking for the ESPN cameos, and I just figured they spliced in the original cast for the others.
It took me, I had to look at it, and it's like, okay.
Oh, okay, now it may, all right, yeah.
It was the real Ron Johnson, too. The real Ron Johnson was in there.
Wow.
Yeah, like when I saw the real, because you rarely see Cree Summer acting these days. She does more voice acting and stuff.
Yeah.
So when I saw her, I was like, oh man, Cree Summer is here doing this for ESPN. And maybe my favorite part, Marcus, because it obviously is funny, even if you don't have the frame of reference, but if you know A Different World from back in the day, it makes it even that much more entertaining. But I loved when they go to that one scene where the guys are doing the step show.
Mm-hmm.
And on the real show, it's like a black fraternity. But on the parody, it's like the ESPN anchors, and you got the two white guys in the back.
Dabbing.
Yeah. Oh, it's so great.
Wow. That's, I don't know how they topped that one.
Yeah, the anchorman was good.
You can't do Cosby show.
No, I don't think they can. At least not right now.
Could you imagine the Cosby intro, the one?
That's the thing, though. Cosby, people don't really want to talk about it now because of your man Bill Cosby. But, the Cosby show, the great thing about them was all the different intros they had.
They had so many good ones. And they changed it each year.
Yeah. Which was your favorite?
The dancing, how would you describe it? Not Hawaiian, but Caribbean intro, season 5?
Yeah. That was the one, was that the one where it was kind of like it was like operatic almost?
Yeah, it was like a background, like a Caribbean background, and they all come out dancing, and yeah.
That was good. I think my favorite might be the one where he's with it was like the almost the Cosby Show theme mixed with Shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and it's got the Apollo behind it. And he's like, this is the best elevated music I've ever heard.
Yeah. Damn.
I love it, man.
I want to watch the Cosby Show now. Forget it. I don't care.
Hey, if Donald Trump president, we can watch Bill Cosby.
I got the bot set, man. I can separate the character from the old asshole rapist of a man. So that's cool. I'm good.
Yes. Bill Cosby, terrible human being, but great comedian and great show.
Yes.
So again, shout out to Mike Smith and Jemele Hill on the six on the ESPN and that great parody of A Different World. And we might have to post it on our Kings of Sport Facebook page.
Yes, if we remember.
If we remember, that's
the motto for this show.
If Mark isn't too busy watching minor league NASCAR races,
it's Xfinity race, man. They're in Vegas.
I'm surprised you're not in Vegas.
I know. I thought about it because Ring of Honor was last night too. I thought about swinging it, but hotel was really high. And then I realized once I became a NASCAR fan 3 weeks ago, it's probably because NASCAR's in town.
Did you watch the Ring of Honor last night?
I did not yet. No, I saw it happen, but I have not watched.
Okay, so you know what happened.
Yes.
Okay, so shout out to your man Christopher Daniels.
Christopher Daniels, by the way, last year at last year's anniversary show, I went with Andres and Kel and those guys, and we were at TGI Fridays after the show inside Sam's Town. And as we were eating food, just sitting there, in comes Christopher Daniels by himself, sits next to me at the bar, eating.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Marcus.
Uh-huh.
Did you order him an Appletini?
Damn it. Oh, that'd have been so good.
That would have been great.
Oh, where were you, Nate, last year? Oh, I didn't think about that.
Oh, you too starstruck at the moment.
That's more up your alley. You're a bigger Daniels fan than I am. But on the way out, I said, hey, good work tonight. And he was nice. He was nice enough. I just thought it was funny that he was sort of sitting by himself.
He sounds like a good dude.
Yeah.
What is he, like 47 now?
Oh, he's that old?
I think he might be like, he's definitely mid-40s. He might be late 40s by now.
Let's see. Christopher Daniels. 45.
45, okay.
He'll be 46 in a couple weeks.
Okay, damn, but he's still getting it done though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so shout out to Christopher Daniels, and we'll have more wrestling talk in segment two as our road to WrestleMania continues, Marcus. But you know what? All this talk about NASCAR and the Cosby Show and Ring of Honor, it's got me hungry for some reason. I don't know why those things are connected. But I'm wondering if you, much like Christopher Daniels, can make a comeback and bring back a segment that the people have been asking for all over social media, and that, of course, is Vandenbergers.
It's back, guys. With two,
you have a burger review this week.
Two burger reviews.
Oh, two burger reviews. Hold on, we got to do this professionally. Then I didn't know you had two in the back pocket. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're new to the show, Marcus Vandenberg is a hamburger connoisseur. He is an aficionado, and so when he has time, he goes out and tries various burgers all over the country and sometimes all over the world because he's had burgers in Canada before. And he comes back and international burgers. And he comes back and gives us his grades on a little segment we like to call Vandenbergers. So will somebody hit Marcus's theme music?
And now it's time for the freshest, hottest, and dare we say juiciest segment in the history of sports radio. Got beef? Well, brother Marcus is here to squash it. It's time for Vandenbergers on the Kings of Sports.
Royale with you.
Thank you, Nate. We're back for two burgers. So, I was in New York.
You dropping burger reviews like Remy Ma dropping diss tracks.
I know.
Back to back.
Except I took like 17 days off like Nicki Minaj did. So. But I'm back.
Hashtag topical references.
Yes. So I was in New York this past week, and I did not plan on having two burgers, but it sort of worked out that way. So you're welcome, America and Canada. On Wednesday night, I met up with a friend of mine in Harlem and went to a place called the Row House, which is a local Harlem establishment. If you've never been to Harlem, there are a lot of row houses, and what I mean by that is there are a lot of restaurants that cater towards a specific, I would say, demographic of black people, and this would be sort of like the middle class, upper middle class black Harlem resident. I mean, it was a nice restaurant, but, you know, it's not your... You know, I'm trying to think of a lower black middle class restaurant. It's
so you saying this is like the Bad and Bougie establishment?
There you go. It's one of those, and then there's a bunch of them in Harlem, and we just happen
to people that went to Hillman College would go here.
Yes, or the real life Spelman. So I had the Row House burger from this place. As the menu says, a 10-ounce grass fed beef burger on a potato bun with grilled onions, tomato jam, which I did not do. Just give me tomatoes.
Tomato jam?
Yeah, just tomatoes.
Isn't that just ketchup?
I didn't want to find out. black garlic aioli, which I skipped, and then it came with fries. I added bacon to the burger,
too. A little too much.
Yeah. So I added bacon, substituted off the garlic aioli and the jam. So it was... It didn't seem like a 10-ounce burger. I was expecting it to be just way too big, but right. it was a decent size. The bacon was a little undercooked for me. I like my bacon crispy,
a little crispier,
like done. Even if I'm eating bacon at breakfast, you know, I like it done. It was a little too undercooked and a little too fatty for me. But the burger itself, it had a decent flavor. I finished it. I was a little hungry. And
could you tell it was grass-fed? Like, did that make any damn difference?
I could not tell a difference in the quality of beef. And sometimes you can. I mean, you can tell cheap beef, i.e. yeah, McDonald's, compared to higher quality, like a Kobe beef.
Right.
I couldn't tell the difference, no. It was, I would say, I would compare it to like your standard hotel hamburger.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure the hamburger we had, or you didn't have a burger in D.C., but I had it when you came up to D.C.
Yeah.
In the room. I thought that burger had more flavor than this.
Really?
Yeah. It was okay. It was...
Well, see, I mean, to be fair though, Marcus, you didn't have the burger in its full natural state.
That is true, and that is a trend and pattern that happens with most of these burgers, because usually they either have cheese, which I can't do, or like mayonnaise or something else I don't eat. So,
you know, you take away the tomato jam, it's like what do you, it's like taking the DDT away from Jake the Snake.
The jam I put it over the top. So,
that still troubles me, Marcus. Like tomato jam, that seems a little like either put like jam on a burger, which I've had before,
mm-hmm,
or put ketchup on it. But tomato jam seems real like you're trying too hard to prove something.
I originally wasn't asking to put it on the side, and then because she said, mm-hmm, "Oh, we don't have tomatoes." I'm like, "What, you're making fucking tomato jam? How do you not have tomatoes?" So then she came back. And then she's like, "Oh no, we have tomatoes." I was like, "Okay, I'll just hit the tomatoes. I don't need the tomato jam." So I wanted to see what the consistency and flavor was like.
Okay. We don't have tomatoes, but we're a restaurant.
Yeah, and we have a restaurant menu called Tomato Jam. So out of four crowns?
I was gonna say, yeah. What's on a scale of 1 to 4 crowns, with 4 being phenomenal and 1 being, well, 4 keeping with our wrestling theme. 4 is the phenomenal AJ Styles, mm-hmm. and 1 is Mojo Rawley.
Oh, that's an insult to Mojo. 1 is like James Ellsworth.
Damn. So did this burger have a chin or not?
I would give it a 2. I would give it a solid Dolph Ziggler.
Solid Ziggler?
Yeah.
What was the name of this place again?
The Row House.
The Row House.
Yes.
And it's in Harlem.
It's in Harlem, New York. Shout out to Harlem. I don't miss you.
was Mace there?
No Mace. No celebrity New York sightings on my trip.
Not even the illustrious Brian Mann.
Not even Brian Mann. I know.
Damn.
So the next day, Wednesday night or no Thursday night,
you had burgers 2 nights in a row.
Two nights in a row, but I should say, for the lunches those 2 days, I had salads. So,
so you were getting, you were balancing it out.
I was trying to balance it out there. Not on purpose. It just happened to work out that way. So Thursday night, I was out and about and got a little hungry. And was going back to my hotel and was staying around the corner from a Steak and Shake. Now, Steak and Shake has not... Well, take that back. Steak and Shake has come out west, but it's not as popular or easy to find. So,
yeah.
There's one in Santa Monica out here. There's one in Las Vegas at one of the hotels. But, you know, it's not like the Midwest where there are, you know, like the Starbucks there every other corner. So I was like, oh, Steak and Shake, that's cool. And at this point in the night, it was probably 9:30, and I didn't feel like doing pizza without cheese or anything like that. So I said, you know what? I'll just get a burger, another one. So I have not had the Steak and Shake hamburger probably. Because my one real experience with Steak and Shake on a regular basis was during an NABJ convention in Indianapolis, where it was like the only thing that was open after midnight. So we would go pretty much every night during the convention to eat late. So this is my first Steak and Shake burger. And I just got the regular burger without cheese. And when I got back to the room, I opened it up, picked it up, was very disappointed to find out that the bun was ice cold. And the toppings were like ice cold. To the point where it throws off the rest of the burger, because you have this hot patty and then like these frigid vegetables on top and this frigid bun. So
right.
Usually you put the bun on the grill to warm it up some, and you know, so everything's the same temperature. So that was a bit jarring.
It sounds like this might be a classic. If we had a time machine, we could do classic Vandenbergers. But do you remember back in the day when McDonald's had the McDLT?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say this might be a little bit before your time. But I think I might have been 6 or 7 at the time. Maybe I was like no more than 8. But I remember McDonald's having a McDLT. And the whole gimmick of it was you had one side of the box that was hot, which had like the meat and the bacon, mm-hmm. and the bottom bun. And then the other side of the box was cold, and it had the top bun, the lettuce, tomato, and all that other good stuff.
Wow.
And the gimmick was you put them both together. And I think people had that problem. Like the bottom of the burger was warm, but mm-hmm. the top of the burger was cold, and it just made everything like fall apart. So if you got some time this week, kids, Google McDLT and learn about one of McDonald's biggest failures.
Know your burger history. So 100% beef, minus the cheese, lettuce, pickles, tomato, onion, and ketchup. And you know, minus the cold bun, the burger itself, the flavor is pretty good. It, considering, you know, for a fast food establishment burger, it wasn't bad. A little small as well. Maybe I'm just eating fat. I don't know. But
I was gonna say, what's that old line? I'm not getting biggest. The movie's getting smaller, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
It's like there's like Marcus sitting at the table. The burgers aren't getting smaller. I'm just getting bigger,
which is true. So yeah, it was decent. When's the last time you had Steak and Shake?
Oh man, it's been a while. It's probably been at least a year or so, because we've got one in Hampton down here. It's like, matter of fact, ironically, it's right next to the Zaxby's in Hampton.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think they share like an adjoining parking lot. So yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Like, I'm a fan of Steak and Shake.
Yeah, it's I was kind of surprised. I mean, I've always known Steak and Shake for being cheap, which was, even in New York City, my burger and fries cost me under $7, which
that's
I know,
steal in New York.
Yeah, that's a miracle. So it was a and the other thing too about the patty was it looked like one of those patties, and I've sort of described this before, one of those patties, and it says on the menu, handcrafted. It was handcrafted. Like, it had no form. It was just sort of like thrown together and cooked. It was not a frozen patty. It was not something they had ready to go. They sort of just slapped it together. So I appreciate that.
All right. So for Steak and Shake, we graded the Row House, and you gave it a Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
So for Steak and Shake, let's go to the Raw side of the roster, and let's say, on a scale of 1 to 4 crowns, with 4 crowns being your man Bill Goldberg and 1 crown being Roman Reigns.
Oh, poor Roman.
What do you give this burger?
I would give it a solid 2.5, like a Rusev.
Okay, so we got a Ziggler burger at the Row House and a Rusev burger at Steak and Shake.
A handsome Rusev, yeah.
That's actually a pretty good name for a burger.
The handsome Rusev?
Or a shot. Like, let me get the handsome Rusev. It's like vodka and... What'd be handsome Rusev? That's real stereotypical. It'd be vodka and cranberry juice. The handsome Rusev.
Handsome. That's a good one. I don't know what would be considered handsome for a drink.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's got to be something kind of smooth. So maybe not cranberry juice. Because you got to offset the vodka.
Yeah. We'll come back to this.
Yeah, we'll think about this. We'll think about it. So yeah, Marcus out there in New York eating all these mid-card burgers.
Yeah. The rest of my time in New York was pretty busy. Spoke to the kids, college kids that came by Yahoo on Wednesday. And that was cool.
Inspiring the next generation.
I hope so. Or at least scaring them off out of the industry. One of the two. Besides that, I didn't, you know, Thursday I worked, and then Friday morning I woke up and opened my curtains in the room, and it was snowing. So they originally said, oh, 1 to 3 inches, no big deal. And then I think it ended up being in parts of the city up to like 5 inches. But I got out in time. Mm. So are you getting this blizzard on Tuesday?
They keep saying we will, but I'm not sure. Like, I'm playing it by ear.
Because now they're talking 12 to 18 inches, yeah, in New York for Tuesday.
So, like, I'm stocking up. Like, I'm making sure I have all the essentials, you know, water, batteries, flashlight, alcohol.
that cigarettes. Are you done? You're done e-smokes now. You're past the.
I'm on the e-cigarettes now. Okay. Yes, so good thing is that, like if I need to smoke, I don't have to go outside anymore.
That is a huge advantage in the wintertime.
Yes, that should be like a selling feature for e-cigarettes.
Keep your ass inside.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like so. Yeah, maybe I'll get some ingredients to make up a handsome Rusev. I'll get into the test kitchen, come up with the idea. So that is Vander Burgers. Good job, brother. Welcome return to the segment. So that's Vander Burgers.
And on that note, if you have any burger suggestions for Miami, let me know. That's a net stop on the Vanderburg U.S. Tour 2017.
See, now, since we know you have a penchant for running into people in various establishments, now I just want a situation where you go to a burger joint in Miami and you look over and sit next to you at the counter is Stu Gatz.
Oh, Mr. Wiener himself.
Yes, I want a Vanderburgers with featuring Stu Gatz.
All right.
This guy told me he was going to pay for my burger, and then he left. Like, I had to end up paying for his. I think that'd be worth it just for the story.
Or a burger with Poppy.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Steve.
That'd be great. That'd be the best. Just CC Betty T. Tomato Jam. Oh yeah, well, yeah. I'm looking forward to your travels. It's one of the things that brings the show together. It's like Triptych back in the day from AAA. But speaking of traveling, we are still on the road to WrestleMania. So coming up next in segment two, Marcus and I are going to talk about how we feel the current build is going towards the biggest event on your wrestling calendar. And we may or may not be joined by a guest. It's part of the mystery. It's how we keep you on the hook. So don't you guys go anywhere. Stick and stay, because we got more Kings of Sport coming up right after the break.
And now, it's time to get you caught up on the week's biggest stories from the world of professional wrestling. It's the Ringside Wrap on the Kings of Sport.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, and you hear that music, so you know what time it is. It is time for the Ringside Wrap as we continue our special Road to WrestleMania series. And normally, we would have a guest in this spot, but because Brother Marcus missed the first week of the Road to WrestleMania, I figured I need to have him here and get his thoughts. And you know, not allow anybody else to step in the way. It needs to be one-on-one. And hopefully, Marcus, this segment lasts longer than 22 seconds, brother.
Let's hope so.
So, because if not, this might be one of our shortest shows yet. but, of course, we are referencing the main event of Fastlane, which took place last week. And now it looks like, Marcus, following Fastlane and following what happened on Raw, we have most of our Raw cards set for WrestleMania at this point. So first of all, what did you think of Fastlane in general? Like, other than the title match, was there anything else that really stood out or really kind of piqued your interest or even made you scratch your head?
It was probably the worst pay-per-view special they've done since last year's WrestleMania.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It wasn't good.
Yeah, I didn't think it was good. I didn't think it was that bad though. So what in particular like stood out to you as being offensive? Was it Charlotte losing for no reason?
Charlotte losing for no reason. The main event, which just why? It just felt like they had a lot of filler. Mainly probably because they knew Goldberg was only working 22 fucking seconds.
Oh yeah, now I'm looking at the card now on Wikipedia and I'm remembering some of the stuff. Yeah, that Big Show, Rusev, I wasn't feeling that.
They destroyed Rusev for who knows why. Did we need Cesaro, Jinder Mahal? No.
Nope.
I thought Joe Zane could have been a lot longer. That only went 10 minutes.
Especially considering the length of the main event.
Yeah. And Reigns Strowman was okay. It was, as most Roman Reigns matches are, they're not bad usually. But I don't know.
I mean, considering the fact that Roman actually kind of had to be the guy to lead the match, I thought it was good, all things considered, because I'm still kind of not sold on the Strowman in ring. I'm like, he's definitely got the character and they've booked him well, but his in ring is still like a little suspect in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a little. He's still green. But the best match of the night was Neville and Jack Gallagher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a fun match. But overall, it was. I mean, maybe because I watched the pre-show too, so it was 4 hours of my life that was just.
Why would you do that?
Because NASCAR was over at this point, so I figured why not watch the other white sport, white guilty pleasure wrestling. So I just turned it on early.
I was gonna say, you go straight from NASCAR to watching wrestling pre-shows. Like you truly are in the sunken place, brother.
I know. Except
Hashtag get out spoilers.
I drink better beer than the traditional stereotypical white beer. So
yeah, you drink your little fancy grapefruit beer.
Yes.
But you're too good for tomato jam, but you drink grapefruit beer.
Mm-hmm. That is right.
but talking about the main event, Marcus, there's been so much consternation, hand-wringing, if you will, about the main event, and I think that they made the right call. They just did it in the wrong fashion. So is your problem more with the result or with the execution?
I think it was the execution. You can't sell Kevin Owens as this dude who's coming off as, I'm smarter than Goldberg. And for him to fall for the distraction finish off the top, even if it was Jericho, it just seems like, well, all right. Like, what was the point? So, I mean, plus two, like, I really do wonder if this dude can work a match longer than 5 minutes. And if we weren't going to find out on this pay-per-view, we're not going to find out before WrestleMania. So that scares me.
Nope.
that's especially if he's the main event. If this is the main event in WrestleMania, which I think it's going to be, what do you do? Like, it can't go more than 10 minutes, right?
It's got to go at least 10 minutes, because I don't think you can have a WrestleMania main event that goes less than 10. I don't think it should go any longer than 10. But yeah, like 10 minutes, 10 and a half minutes. I think that is okay. And I think maybe the way to do it is just have these guys go out there and beat each other up for 10 minutes.
Do you think they'll like,
don't even try to make it technical.
Do you think they'll add a no DQ stipulation at some point?
Just to
free it up.
Yeah, I'll say they might have to add some bells and whistles like with that Sting Triple H match, but mm-hmm. maybe not to that extent. But yeah, they're gonna have to put some set design around it because I can't see either one of these guys putting on a compelling match for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Maybe 5. I mean, if you do like rest holds and feats of strength and
a lot of standing in the middle of the ring, staring at each other and then looking out to the crowd,
pointing to the sign. I mean, it's I'm already plotting my exit plan from WrestleMania because I have a 7 a.m. flight back to L.A. on Monday morning. WrestleMania will be going on to, 11 Eastern? I can't afford to be stuck 2 hours trying to get out of Camping World Stadium to get back to my hotel. So I might have, 1 foot out the door once Goldberg comes out.
What is up with you and these poor life decisions, Marcus?
It's baseball opening day, so I have to get back to...
First, you watch the pre-show, and now you're scheduling flights for the day after WrestleMania at 7 in the morning.
Hey, man, this is the trade-off for doing WrestleMania is that I have to be back to do my day job. So,
why can't you just get the MLB Network and pretend like you were there?
Yeah, if it wasn't opening day, but I'll be back.
Nobody will know the difference, Marcus.
Yeah, I did it last year. I was fine last year leaving. I left Dallas. Oh, God. It was probably... I left the hotel up before 5 a.m., I think, last year. And I was
still probably 80 degrees.
Yeah, I was in the office before, I think, the first pitch of whatever the first game was. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was only coming from Dallas. Now you come across country.
I know. Yeah, Dallas flight's only 2.5 hours. This Orlando flight is going to be 5, so good times.
Why are you working harder than Goldberg this WrestleMania weekend?
I don't know. One day I'll learn.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you have to look forward to in Orlando, Marcus, because as of right now, it looks like we've got 7 matches penciled in for WrestleMania. And I want your thoughts on this card as a whole. We got... of course, your man Bray Wyatt versus hot stuff Randy Orton. Mm-hmm. That should be his new gimmick. Just come out like Eddie Gilbert, be hot stuff Randy Orton. We got Goldberg versus Lesnar, Jericho mm-hmm. versus Owens, Bayley, Charlotte, and Sasha in a 3-way. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson versus Enzo, Big Cass, and Sheamus and Cesaro in a tag team 3-way. Alexa Bliss versus all women available to compete on SmackDown.
Naomi.
Right, exactly. And the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So do those matches light your world on fire, Marcus Vandenberg, or do you need something else, something phenomenal to be added to the card to get your interest up?
Oh, like AJ Styles, Shame It, man. Ooh.
That'll put butts in the seats.
God, poor AJ. What a waste these last 2 years.
I never thought I'd say it, but actually the loss to Jericho last year might be his best WrestleMania moment so far.
Oh, it will be by far.
Considering what he's rumored to be getting ready for, which...
Just announce it. Just
say it.
Just match 8, Shame It Man versus AJ Styles.
There's no shade on Shane, but why? Why are we doing this?
No, it is Shane. He's not a wrestler. Why? Why is he doing it?
it doesn't make sense to me. I think they'll think of something just because AJ's that good, and it can't be any worse than Shane and Taker last year. Because that match was terrible except for one spot.
Yeah.
But I honestly, out of all the matches listed, the one that might interest me the most at this point, you know what? It might be, and I don't even believe I'm saying this, Marcus Vandenberg, but it might be that SmackDown women's match.
Oh no!
Because if they don't, well, here's the thing. I'm thinking, like, if they don't announce Naomi, and she just shows up, like, that reaction is going to be probably one of the bigger reactions on the show.
Yeah, it. I don't know. It just seems like you're taking a gamble, and this is the problem I have with
what's wrong, Marcus? Why don't you support your black queens, Marcus?
I support her if she's healthy, but if you're just doing this to see if she might be healthy, then you could have Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, and who cares at that point? So it's the same issue I have with Seth Rollins. I'd rather them say, hey, look, you're in or you're out. You know, I don't want Seth, and in this case Naomi, to come back, rush themselves, and then re-injure themselves for a WrestleMania moment, quote-unquote. So
that's true, but I think there's a way you can do it and be smart about it. The question is, will they be smart about it? And that's a bigger question. So I agree with you on that point. We talked about Goldberg, Lesnar. What do you make of the big angle from Raw this past week in another match that isn't officially announced, but we know it's going to happen? The Battle of the Yard with your man Undertaker versus Jermaine's favorite wrestler, Roman Reigns.
This feels like the passing of the torch, right?
It should be.
I think it will be.
You think it will be?
Yeah.
Reigns beats Taker, and then do we get heel Reigns, or do we still get babyface Reigns? Because if you thought it was hard for the fans to cheer Roman before, wait till he beats the Undertaker at WrestleMania.
I think you had to go full heel. I think you can, even though it's different brands, you can flip styles and make him a babyface, and yeah, still have that.
I mean, if you want to be real with it, Styles is already a babyface to the fans.
He is, and I think with Cena already going to be on a departure after WrestleMania, you're going to need a babyface. So I think maybe you can flip Styles on SmackDown, and he can also sort of be like that face of the company somewhat, and just flip Reigns. I mean, just embrace it. Embrace the hate.
Embrace the hate. Go full Skip Bayless.
Yes. I think this could be, if Taker loses again, my theory was if he ever lost twice at WrestleMania, right, that'd be it. So this might be
that
it.
That would work really well for the character too, because he could, you know, go around and say, I'm the guy that retired the Undertaker.
Yeah. My only, I guess, negative would be, I was hoping it would do Cena Taker.
Yeah.
But if he can't work that match, then I'll settle for heel Reigns. Oh, we forgot that match, by the way. That's match number 10. John Cena and...
the mixed tag. John Cena and Nikki versus your friends, Miz and Maryse.
Yeah. Woo. WrestleMania, guys.
Hey, the match is going to be terrible, but the build has been decent.
The build has been good. The Miz is getting better.
Like the Miz is out here spitting hot fire.
Yeah, he's really come to. I mean, this is like Miz circa his title run from a few years ago. He's feeling it.
Yeah, I think character wise, he might even be better.
Yeah,
than he was during his title run. Like this whole kind of work shoot Miz, where he's taking subliminal shots and being petty on talking smack. Like, I like the character.
Yeah.
Talking about John Cena stealing people's girlfriends and stuff. Like, it's good. So, yeah, before we get out of here, Marcus, last week when we talked to Brother Braden, you had a 5 and I was at a 5. So, where are you at the at this point in the journey on the road to WrestleMania, in terms of your interest level on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at this week, brother?
I would say maybe 5.5. I thought Raw was the problem was I thought Raw was good, but the pay per view was so bad that it sort of evens out.
Okay, so Marcus is at a 5.5. I've moved up too, Marcus. I've moved all the way up to a 6, though. And I'll tell you why. For a reason that
that your gimmick sits at a 10?
I mean, A, yes, I gotta live out the gimmick. But B, a match that hasn't been announced, but I'm hoping it gets announced to the card, is the Cruiserweight match, which, man, Austin Aries versus Neville.
That's
like, if that
right.
makes the main card, I think that could be a hell of a match.
Man, that's a...
It's going to be a long-ass show, Marcus.
Jeez. In a city, an outdoor stadium, that is not exactly cool.
Right.
It's a little warm.
And don't let your man Dwayne show up, because Dwayne going to mess up the whole format.
Yeah. No, he's probably on punishment after CM Punk. It'll be Hogan.
Oh, damn. We got any niggers in the house, brother? Shout out to my niggers. Oh, and you're forgetting the New Day stuff, because they're not going to be brief at all.
Oh, that's going to be, yeah.
It's going to be a long show, Marcus. And if the Hardys show up, it's going to be a long show. So, I hope you sleep well on that flight back home.
Man, I don't need to see the pre-show, I don't think. So, if the show starts at 7 Eastern, I can roll in around 6:15 and be cool. Be out by 11.
You hope?
I hope. I mean, be out of my seat by 11. And then, out of the stadium by, 11:30, 11:45. Mm. So I can get 4 hours of sleep. Yeah, there you go. WrestleMania, people.
So that's the road to WrestleMania. Next week, we'll be joined by a special guest, or maybe more than one special guest, as we continue on our journey towards the biggest event on your wrestling calendar. But coming up next, we're going to wrap up the show with perhaps your favorite segment. That is the one and only segment 4. So don't you guys go anywhere. More Kings of Sport right after this.
Got an opinion you want to share with the Kings? Well, have your say in one of 3 different ways. Visit facebook.com/thekingsofsport. Email us at thekingsofsport@gmail.com and hit us up at CosPod on Twitter.
I'm expressing with my full capabilities, and now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport. Marcus and Nate holding things down, ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, We got to give you what you want and what you need. And what you want and need is ratchetness in abundance. And that's what we have here in Second Four. It is our weekly repository of all things ratchet, where we talk about some of the crazy stories from the world of sports, pop culture, politics, entertainment, whatever. You know, we bring it down and give it to you here in this segment. And Brother Marcus has informed me during the break that he's got something that might get me fired up. So before we get into that, though, Marcus, I want to send a shout out to the good people at DH6. Do you know who they are?
No, what's that?
DH6 is the official apparel company of actor Dennis Pedro Serrano / President Palmer Haysbert.
Huh.
And the way I found out about this was yesterday when I got home from work, I was on Twitter, and what was blowing up was the Different World parody that we talked about off the top from SportsCenter. And so I'm looking at that and tweeting about it and getting retweets from the Different World cast Twitter page, which I didn't even know was a thing until yesterday. But I promptly followed them. But then right after that, I saw a tweet from Dennis Haysbert. Who's like, "Hey, guys, hope everyone's having a wonderful day. Don't forget to check out the newest DH6 exclusives." I'm like, DH6? What the hell is DH6? So I click on the link, and it takes me to Dennis Haysbert's website, where he has his own line of golf apparel. For who?
For
what?
Not basketball apparel. Not.
No.
What other kind of apparel is there for black people?
Like we talked during the break, like it wouldn't even be like it'd be cool if he came out with like some Pedro Serrano baseball gear.
Yeah.
But
I'd wear that t-shirt.
Like, I don't need a DH6 line jacket. I don't even know what DH6 stands for.
I know that a DH, obviously, but what's the 6 for?
Right.
Is he from Toronto? Is he?
Right. Is he?
Is he from the 6? Maybe
I got 6 months of money left for I'm going to have to start acting again. That's not fair, though, because I think he's on the show right now.
CBS? I don't know. All the CBS shows are trash.
Yeah, it's like some kind of military / police procedural, like Line of Duty or something like that.
Sounds about right. That sounds very CBS-ish.
And he's like the black chief. Like the wives are always like, "Make sure they come home all right." I always make sure we come home. Boom, boom, boom. Line of Duty, like with like probably some CSI spinoff. So yeah, if you're a black golfer, which Marcus might soon turn into, considering the trajectory of his life lately, check out DH6 for all your black golfing apparel. Shout out to Dennis Haysbert.
No golf, I get too frustrated playing golf.
Well, so,
it's a hard sport.
I've played golf a couple times. As a matter of fact, I actually used to, I think I've mentioned this on the show before. I used to produce instructional golf tapes with one of the golf pros up here near Colonial Williamsburg.
No, I didn't know that.
Like golfing, like actually playing golf, it was okay, but I didn't like that at all. But I love like the golf club lifestyle. Like riding around in a cart and going to the clubhouse and drinking beer and eating the steaks and stuff like that. Like, I love that part of the game.
You love the white man's lifestyle is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that. It's a pretty good lifestyle. Speaking of lifestyles.
Tom.
Hey, some of our greatest Americans at times. Brady, Joyner, Thibodeau.
Glavin.
Glavin. Oh, I love Tom Glavin. He's Atlanta. He's an Atlanta legend. So we're not here to talk about Atlanta legends. We're here to talk about ratchetness, Marcus. And you told me off the air that you had a story you wanted to bring to my attention.
Yes, some news to you, Nate, on this Saturday. Guess who is out of retirement?
Is it Sierra? Because she told me this week that she retired from podcasting.
She did, huh?
That's what she says.
I find that hard to believe.
I do, too. She's way too petty to retire from podcasting.
And way too chatty.
Yes. So it's not Sierra. Sting. Is it Sting?
It's not Sting. No. Dang. Where's he been?
You haven't, like... I thought he was going to do, like, some ambassador-type stuff for the company.
Yeah, he's done nothing.
You ain't seen Sting since he put out that DVD.
Yeah. It's actually...
I was going to say, I got nothing.
Floyd Mayweather.
Money Mayweather
announced on... I guess it would have been Saturday or late Friday in England. He's over doing these tours overseas. But he announced that he is stepping out of retirement to fight Conor McGregor. Now, there's one catch. There is no fight that has been signed. So you can say you're coming out of retirement, but without a contract, you're still retired. He wants this fight to happen in June. In June. It is now
in
March.
June. I was going to say, like, this June?
Yes. This June.
Wow.
For a guy who, I'm sure he's doing some training in the gym, but he hasn't been preparing for a fight. And McGregor has been off because his girlfriend was having a baby. And he hasn't been preparing for a fight. So how this fight, not only... A, has to get made, which, as you saw with Mayweather-Pacquiao, was not an easy process, and that was the same sport, let alone boxing and UFC figuring out shit. And then B, the fact that these two guys would now need to go into a training camp. June seems kind of soon. September, sure. June, I don't know.
Right. Any idea why he would say June? Like, that does feel a little odd.
It's odd because when he was fighting, he was a May-September dude. He would fight during Cinco de Mayo weekend, and he would
fight during he'd always fight a Mexican during Cinco de Mayo weekend.
Yeah. Smart man. So the June thing is a bit of a curveball. Now, if I'm the UFC and I know I have this big pay-per-view coming up in July, and I currently, though I could go with GSP and Bisping as my main event, I know I don't have Rousey, and I know I won't have Conor in theory unless I do the stupid fight with Mayweather. Well, why not at least try to do it during my big weekend in July? I don't think this fight happens either way, but if it were going to happen, I would shoot for July if I'm the UFC.
What do you think Dana White's thinking about this? Because obviously Conor's under contract, so do you think there's an incentive for him to kind of make this thing happen?
The incentive would be, if you're the UFC, you've purchased this company, and by we, I mean the new owners. You purchased this company from the Fertittas. You spent all this money. You've had awful luck recently in terms of pay-per-views and people falling out of cards. And last week with Khabib falling out the card the night before. So if there's a way that the UFC can make some money off this fight and get a cut of this card, whether it be from both fighters or from Conor's purse or from the pay-per-views, if there's a way for it to be profitable for UFC, then I don't see why the UFC would stop it, to be honest, just to make the money off of it. It's going to make money. Yeah. People are going to buy this card.
People are, because people are gullible.
Yes.
I almost said people are idiots, but I didn't want to be that mean.
But there's also a train wreck mentality for something like this. We've never seen anything like this before.
And then the other thing from the UFC standpoint is there really is little risk of Conor getting hurt unless he gets hurt in training. Because Floyd's not that dude that's going to destroy this man. He's just going to, you know, do his Floyd thing.
Yeah, I don't even see. I mean, he's not going to knock out McGregor. He might. I mean, he would embarrass him, but you can always say, "Hey, look, like I'm not a boxer. I'm a MMA fighter who stepped up to do the impossible, which was to fight the greatest modern day boxer of our time. And yeah, I lost, but again, I am an MMA fighter, not a boxer. So."
At least it lasted longer than CM Punk did in our sport.
Who the fuck is this guy?
And if anything, like the promotion will sell itself when you got those two going back and forth.
Could you imagine the pre? I mean, you could literally televise that pre-fight press conference on Fox.
Yeah,
on Bit Fox. You can make that an hour long prime time thing with those two and get your sensor button ready because
oh man. Yeah. I could only imagine right now, I think up to this point my favorite Floyd pre fight press conference is the one, was it the Guerrero fight with Pops Guerrero?
Mm-hmm.
He's a woman beater, man.
Oh, that's right.
The dude beats women, man. He beats his old lady, man. He's a woman beater. We're going to show you your woman beater. We're going to beat you like you beat women, which seems like a terrible insult. But, yeah, I think this can top that with the way your boy Conor can talk.
And, you know, say what you want about Pacquiao Mayweather. Those pre-fight press conferences are pretty boring. Those guys had too much respect for each other to even go down that road of sort of throwing mud. I don't think Floyd cares, and I think he would sort of revert back to Money Mayweather for at least one night.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that indulged in professional wrestling at one time. Like, he knows how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Conor would definitely be game for it. So, yeah, I know it's not going to be a good fight, Marcus, but I might actually be hyped up for just the run-up to the fight.
Even if they made it just like, not even 12, like not even 10 rounds, it's maybe 12, it's not a title. Even if it's just like a special 3-round exhibition. And it was part of
like Hulk Hogan and Rocky and Rocky III?
Yeah, and it was part of a bigger UFC card, so they had the dual ring set up like they do for Bellator sometimes. You at least give people legitimate UFC, so they don't feel gypped off when this fight ends after 10 minutes. And you make it. I mean, even if it was GSP, made GSP your quote unquote MMA headline, and then you have this special attraction. I mean, that would do the return of GSP and Conor and Floyd. That would do. It probably wouldn't do Pacquiao Mayweather numbers, but it would be up there.
No.
It would do at least 3 million. I would guess.
Say it might not do Pacquiao Mayweather numbers, but it'd be one of the bigger UFC.
It'd be the biggest UFC pay-per-view of all time, easy. So, and second behind probably that Pacquiao fight.
That's a good idea, Marcus. Like I know you're friends with your man Paul over in the WWE, and you give him advice from time to time. You know, the big one, the one in the office, the corporate one.
Oh, okay.
So maybe he can put you in touch with Dana and you can send this idea to Dana.
I just want 0.1% of the pay-per-view sales, Dana. Just 0.1.
Just 0.1, yeah.
Just a small, tiny percentage.
And then you too can live the white man's life.
Oh.
Now the shoe's on the other foot. I think that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Marcus, where can the people find you on Twitter if they want to give their thoughts on the potential of a Floyd-Conor fight, or if they just want to find out where the hell you're traveling this week?
Find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
You can follow me on Twitter, @8, MOZAIK. Follow the show at Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Check out the Facebook page where hopefully we'll post that ESPN spoof of the Different World TV show intro. You can find that at facebook.com/thekingsofsport. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, wherever podcasts are found. Like the show, rate the show, review the show, and most importantly, share the show with your friends. That's going to do it for yet another week, Marcus. Next week should be fun. We'll probably talk some college hoops. We'll definitely talk some pro wrestling, and who knows what else we'll get into.
Football, basketball. Too early for baseball. Yeah, that's about it.
You don't want to spend 20 minutes talking about Tim Tebow?
Man, we avoided that to the very end, huh?
Well, maybe we'll say we'll have a Tebow discussion next week.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we got in store for next week on the program. So thanks again for downloading the show, and be sure to check us back here next week for an all new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. For Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. Here's a chance to make it if we focus on our goals. If you dish it, we can take it. Just remember that you've been told it's a different world from where you come from. Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo from where you come from. And you've been down with the king.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD. Or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X. Sharp as a tack, like I just left.